Jonathan Praja means living as he was taken his birth in the material world. Actually, living being has no birth and no death. He got to his separation from the service of the Lord, due to desire to lord over material nature. He is offered a suitable body to satisfy his material desires. In doing so, one becomes conditioned by the laws of material nature. The material body is changed in terms of his own work. This is italicized. In the material body is changed in terms of his work. This is, in other words, this emphasizes an important point. So, you know, they know spending that day. Temporary, but the life force in the body is the soul. foolish to think that at the time of death, that's the end, and nothing happens after that. It was one's program, television program, famous television program in America. The man was notified by the doctors he had 2 years to live. So he decided, instead of going to Vrindavan and doing bhajan, he'd go all over the world getting as much sense gratification as he could get. So this is a lack of understanding. The difference between a live body and a dead body. When the life force is out of the body, then the body is dead. And there was one doctor in Toronto who actually understood this point and said that yes, there's definitely a difference between a live body and a dead body. When someone dies, something leaves the body. And he actually believed in this existence of the soul. So according to our karma, law of nature, the material body changed in terms of his work. So as you sow, so shall you reap. So whatever our activities in this life will determine what kind of body we're going to get in our next life. If you live like a hog and eat anything and everything, then you'll get a hog body in your next life. But maybe you can become a hog in Vrindavan. That's more suitable, because all the animals in Vrindavan go back to Godhead, and everyone that dies in Vrindavan go back to Godhead, free from karma, free from any sinful reaction. But of course, most people, they're not going to be leaving their body in Vrindavan. They'll have to take the body of a hog or a dog or whatever, because of their sinful activities. This is the laws of material nature, and many people say, I'm not afraid of death. But if you take a gun and put it to their head, then you ask them to see if they're afraid of death or not. And people are afraid of death because we don't know what death means. I asked one doctor in Vrindavan, what's the difference between a devotee dying, leaving his body, and ordinary materials leaving his body? He said the devotee is very peaceful at the time of death, but the materialists are very restless, fearful, because the Yamadutas come, take him out, take him to the Yamaraj. There's a difference. The devotee is Krishna's, under Krishna's protection. Krishna takes him back to Godhead, or at least gives him a chance at a higher birth. So this is the science of the soul, which Prabhupada introduced. In other religious systems, they don't have this understanding. The science of the soul. So this, many conversations Prabhupada would emphasize this point, that you are claiming to be a religious person, but you don't know. You don't know the first thing about what it means. He says, this is not a religion. You may say I'm a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu, but this is science. This is the science of the absolute truth. Like 2 and 2 is 4. Can't be 5, it can't be 3. Even though they want, sometimes they argue with you. I mean, the materialist person who say 2 and 2 is 4, that's a fact. Say, no, we can prove it. Sometimes it's 5. But no, that's not true. The soul, the science of soul, is the absolute truth. Applies to everyone. It's not whatever label you may give yourself. Doesn't matter. It's still applying to everyone. And everyone, eternal servant of Krishna, that is their eternal occupation that doesn't change. The living entity thus transmigrating from one body to another, 8,400,000 species of life. But due to his being the part parcel of the Lord, He not only is maintained with all necessities of life by the Lord, but is also protected by the Lord and his representative, the sending kings. These kings gave protection to all the Rajas or living beings, to live and fulfill their term of imprisonment. Maharaj Pariksit was exactly an ideal sending king because while touring his kingdom, he happened to see a poor cow which was being killed by the personified Kali. We knew at once, he at once took to task as a murderer. This means that even the animals were given protection by sending administrators, not from any sentimental point of view, but because those who have taken birth in the material world have the right to live. All sending kings, beginning from the king of the sun globe down to the kings of the earth, are also included in the influence of the Vedic literature. Vedic literature are taught in higher planets also, as there is reference to the Bhagavad Gita about the teaching to the Sangha of Vidaswan by the Lord, and such lessons are transferred by specific succession, as is done by the Sangha to the son Manu, from the son Manu to Maharishi Vaku. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and the Manu referred to herein is the seventh Manu, who is one of the Prajapatis, those who create progeny. He is the son of the sun god. He is known as Vaibhashvata Manu. He has 10 sons, and Maharaj Ishvaku is one of them. Maharaj Ishvaku also learned Bhakti Yoga as taught in the Bhagavad Gita from his father, Manu, who got it from his father, the sun god. Later on, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita came down as a site of discussion for Maharaj Ishvaku, and of course, the time the chain was broken by unscrupulous persons, and therefore again had to be taught to Arjuna on the Battle of Kurukshetra. So all the Vedic literatures are current from the very beginning of creation and the material world, and thus the Vedic literatures are known as Apurusaya, not made by man. The Vedic knowledge is spoken by the Lord and first heard by Brahma and first created living being within the universe. So here it says there are 8,400,000 species of life. So this is a fixed number. Doesn't change. You can go to any college and ask any science student how many species of life there are. They don't know. But out of that 8,400,000, only 400,000 are actually human species. And that human species, only 400,000 are actually civilized human beings. A civilized human being is one who follows the Vedic teachings, accepts the guru. Says in the Krishna book that the human being never shows the lower half of his body. Civilized man will never become naked. This is civilized. A civilized man accepts the guru, follows his instructions. So today they have these different kinds of festivals like Woodstock out in the forest and people run around naked, so they can not consider civilized. No civilized man will do that. They have nightclubs and things for throwing so many things like that. But that's not civilized. So human, civilized human being will follow the principles. Prabhupada gave us the four regular principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. Illicit sex. So this is civilized. Otherwise, what is this society? This isn't cat and dog society. Prabhupada speaking to one man and saying, well, you're simply like, what is your modern civilization? You call this modern civilization. What is your advancement? The dog is running on four legs, the car is running on four legs. What is the difference? They created this whole modern civilization. They think they're so advanced in modern technology. They're making so many promises in the future. We're going to create life. In the future, we're going to stop death. In the future, we're going to stop old age. This is simply like a post-dated check. They're giving promises that there's no money, no, simply promises. But they can't do it. They can't stop that. They can't create life. They think life comes from chemicals. The Prabhupada challenged, well, we'll give you all the chemicals. You make life. And they say, well, we don't know. We can't do that. We're not sure. So, but here it says, the tutu is being part and parcel of the Lord. One is maintained with all necessary life by the Lord. It's also protected by the Lord and is represented. So this is there's six symptoms of surrender. To accept which is favorable, reject which is unfavorable, to know the Lord is your protector, the Lord is your maintainer, to know, expect the mercy of the Lord, feel oneself meek and humble. So this is a symptom of a surrendered soul. Krishna says in Bhagavad-gita, to surrender unto me. Give up all these varieties of religion. I will protect you from all sinful activities. Do not fear. So, the materialistic people, they think they can protect themselves. But Krishna says in Bhagavad-gita, my devotee never perishes. It doesn't mean that, of course, in the case of like Dwad Maharaj, he was simply a five-year-old boy. His father called him, said, what have you learned from your teachers? He said, Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Samaranam, Parasetam, he the nine process of social service. His father became very angry. He said, this child, he's siding with my enemy. So he was a five-year-old boy, but the innocent boy. But the father, he tried to kill him in so many ways. But Krishna had protected him. But maybe we hear sometimes the boys get in car accidents and die. And does that mean Krishna didn't protect them? No, Krishna is also protecting the soul from, it says in Bhagavad Gita that the Bikramana Shosti, that the soul is brought to protect the soul from the various type of danger, which is to again fall down into the material in the animal species of life. So Krishna protects the soul so that he can continue his Krishna consciousness, or even go back to Gaya. Yam Yam Bhakti Smaram Bhagavan, whatever you're thinking at the time of death, that will determine what your next life will be. So the devotees are always chanting the Ram Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, so we were required to chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra. The Prabhupada says he chants 16 rounds and he throw away your beat bag and say, no, I can do anything I want. But it's not like that. We should 24 hours a day. Nectar of instruction says, one should spend 24 hours a day, hear chant, nicely hear chant, remember the main form called pastimes of the Lord. So 16 rounds is required, but as the minimum. On Kadasi and other days, we should try to chant more if the time allows. But if we can't chant more, we should be hearing proper lectures or bhajans, or we should if we have free time, we should read Prabhupada's books. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this way, we could utilize our time properly. It says, that one of the qualities of the advanced devotee, he does not like to waste his time. Janakapani said that you can't buy back 1 minute, even if you have millions and millions of Australian dollars, or rupees, millions and millions of rupees, whatever you have, you can't buy back 1 minute. So our time is very valuable, time is very short. So the devotee, he is always mindful to see that his time is not wasted. His time is used solely in the service of Krishna. So here he's talking about Maharaj, the Sangha, how the Bhagavad Gita was handed down to the different planets, even the higher planets. And of course, material science teach everyone in school that there's no life on any other planet. Or if it is life on any other planet, it may be some amoeba or something very, very tiny. But Krishna says that we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, there's life every single planet. And then, of course, according to one's karma, one takes birth on a different planet, different atmosphere, in sun god. As Krishna spoke to the sun god 120 million years ago. But how's that? There's no life on any other planet. And especially the sun planet is with a fiery ball. So how could Krishna speak to the sun god? But the same people on the planet sun planet, they have a body according to their atmosphere there. Just like on Earth, we have Earth, our bodies are made of five elements, mainly earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But on the sun planet, their body have fire bodies, their bodies are meant for that atmosphere. So they claim they put on this very show, claiming they went to the moon. Verses 7, 15 chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that I become the moon and supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So they say they went to the moon, they brought back some moon rocks, and they're keeping them in the glass cases so people can come and see them. And they say the moon is just a barren desert. So if it's a barren desert, how can it be the source of all vegetation? So when Prabhupada was watching that on television, he was in England, London, and when his servant was massaging him, and they were watching the moon landing. So that was Dhananjaya Prabhu was massaging Prabhupada, but at the same time he was trying to watch the moon landing. So Prabhupada kept chastising him because he wasn't doing it right. Then, after the moon landing was finished, they turned off the television. Prabhupada said they never went to the moon. But then, one of his servants at that time couldn't accept that conclusion. He ended up leaving. But Prabhupada, he didn't put that an easy journey to other planets. So a small book he wrote, he put they never went to the moon. And when the devotees published that book for it in America, they took that out. Because he still couldn't believe it, because it was such a professionally done that the whole world was convinced they went to the moon. But the moon is farther away than the sun. The moon is 96 million miles away. Prabhupada say, why does Sunday come before Monday? So if the moon is so close, it's 96 million miles. They went 96 million miles in three days. They went 33 million miles in one day. And then they just shot up there, walked on the moon, got back in their spaceship and came down. So, but we know it's not possible to go to the moon by mechanical means. It's like if you want to go to India, you have to get a visa. If you don't have a visa, you can't get in. But if you want to go to the moon, you have to have the visa, you have to have the qualification. According to your karma, you can't go by mechanical means. So here, the psychics succession is described how he was handed down from the sun god to Maharaj Filmanu to his son Ishvaku, and then in due course of time the chain of succession broken. The chain was broken by unscrupulous persons, therefore again had to be taught Arjuna on the battlefield, etc. So all he gave literature says he are occurring from the very beginning of creation. And the Lord was spoken by the Lord to Brahma, the first great living being within the universe. And in the beginning of creation, that means it's not something new. People will see us on the streets, or they used to think we were cults. And especially in America, there were so many cults, so many things that were sprung up, created by different people and material movements. So they used to lump us in, say that the Hare Krishna is also a cult. But then we presented our literature, we presented ourselves, and now we accept us as a bona fide religious sect. That word is used in America to mean a bona fide organization. But we're the only movement that has this knowledge coming from the beginning of creation. First there was Lord Brahma, is the first created being. He was sitting on a lotus flower, lotus stem, and he was trying to understand where the source of his stem came from, where he came from. So he went down the lotus stem to try to find out where the source was. But he couldn't find out. Then he heard the word tapa. Tapa means penance, pasha. So he sat in meditation for 100 years of demigods, or sometimes 1,000 years, whatever. And after that period, then Krishna came to him. Our Lord Vishnu came to him and shook his hand. And he played his flute and gave him sound and came. The Vedic literature were imparted in the heart of Brahma, first created being. And then he gave us the Brahma Samhita. And in Brahma Samhita, Brahma said all the essence of all Vedic literature are there in Brahma Samhita. And we should chant the Brahma Samhita as a regular daily function. But it discusses all the different aspects of creation and different personalities, like Lord Shiva is considered like yogurt. He's not a jiva, but he's not Krishna either. And when you take milk and yogurt are the same thing, but at the same time, they're not the same thing. Maharaj Ishvaku, one of the sons of Vairasvamanu, he had 100 sons. He prohibited meat eating. His son, Dasharatha, became the next king after his death. So here we're talking about how the king is responsible for all the citizens, not just human beings. The Prabhupada said, he's talking to Karna Dayalu, or he's saying that, why are you killing animals? Why are you eating meat? It says in the commandment, Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill. That this does not mean, this means all living animals. If Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not murder, then you can understand that means human beings. But he said, thou shalt not kill, which refers to all living beings. So it's sinful. Killing animals, killing cows is the most sinful activity. And there cannot be any peace in this world as long as there's wholesale slaughter of animals is going on. Because the war is slaughter of human beings is a direct reaction for this killing of animals. So he was saying to the cardinal, if you want to love God, how can you love God if you're sinful? And this man was trying to defend himself, saying, well, the children are hungry, they have to feed the children, so many things. He couldn't understand this simple point. Probably say, the cow is your mother. Would you kill your mother? She gives you milk. So many things come from the cow. Why do you want to kill the cow? Said, if you really want to eat meat, then you wait for the cow to die naturally in any way. Even in India, there's 3,000 slaughterhouses. It's like number two in the world in animal slaughter. Even in Mathura, the birthplace of Krishna, they have slaughterhouses. So eating meat is most sinful. If you want to eat meat, then you can take birth as a tiger or a lion. Because they have their constitution is meant for eating meat. But our constitution is different. Our constitution is meant for eating grains, milk products, vegetables, fruits. Sometimes people think if you're a vegetarian, then you won't have any energy. They made one movie, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, to show some big guy lifting weights. Can this be a vegetarian? So the devotees in the movie, we don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat in 40 years. I'm not starving. It's not necessary, not required. One Buddhist, I was traveling, one lady, I was asking some Buddhist monk, are you veg or non-veg? She said, oh, it doesn't matter. But we don't agree with that. The whole world is corrupted by this animal slaughter. All the resources, so much resources are being used for killing animals, innocent animals. They say animals don't have a soul. But what is the difference between a man and an animal? Man, the same activities are going on, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The man may do these things in a more comfortable way, in a more polished way. Eat in a nice restaurant or sleep on nice bed. But it's the same activities. So unless one follows some religious principles, then lives as a civilized human being, isn't the same as animals. There's no difference. We have the intelligence when we come to the human form of life. We have the intelligence to inquire, Tato Brahmaji Jignasa. Animals, they can't inquire. Animals don't have the intelligence that human beings have. So it's not the same thing. So that's the reason. If Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Patram Bhushkam Bhuloto Yom Yomi Bhakti Priyajati, not that we're only vegetarian, there's also the monkeys and birds are vegetarians, but we're Krishnatarians. But we accept only what Krishna will accept. Krishna doesn't say, he accept meat. So we can't offer that to Krishna. So we can't eat meat. But devotees, Lord, we only eat that which is offered, prasadam, food of mercy. Prasadam means the mercy of the Lord. So devotees are very careful. We don't eat in restaurants, we don't eat on the airplane, we don't eat in hotels. Prabhupada told us this is forbidden because they cook things, unmentionable things that we can't take. So this is the standard. Because samsiddhi haritoshana, no idea is when please Krishna. Our whole life should be centered around whatever's pleasing to Krishna, whatever's for Krishna's satisfaction. So if Krishna is not satisfied, doesn't well accept this, then we can't do that. And the Guru, we know what Krishna likes, doesn't like, and we take instruction from the Guru. Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhava Bhakti Bhakti Ariyasa Prasada Bhagavad Prasada Yasa Prasada Narakin Gopi. So if Krishna's pleased and the Guru's pleased, the Guru's pleased and Krishna's pleased. We have to follow this system. Otherwise, we don't know what is right and what is wrong. We have to take instruction from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Then we can be sure that we're acting in the proper way. Manu. The manu mentioned in this verse as the father of Vishvaku is the seventh manu. The manu Vaivashtha Manu, the son of the sun god, Devaswami, to whom Lord Krishna instructed in teaching the Bhagavad Gita prior to his teaching that of Arjuna. Mankind is the descendant of Manu. Therefore, Vaivashtha Manu had 10 sons named Vishvaku, Navaga, Drishta, Chayati, Narishyam Yanta, Navaha, Risha, Karusha, Prasada, and Yusuma. Lord's incarnations, Macha, giant fish, was invented during the beginning of Vaivashtha Manu's reign. He learned the principle of Bhagavad Gita from his father. Vivaswan, Sangha, and he reinstructed the same to his son Maharaj Vishvaku. In the beginning of the Treta Yuga, the Sangha instructed devotional service to Manu, and Manu in turn instructed it to Vishvaku for the welfare of the whole human society. Evam parampara prathami yam rajasu vidu. So, this is the parampara system that the science of Krishna consciousness is being handed down from one person to the next. Like, if you have a ripe mango on the top of a tree, it has to be handed down from one person to the next. Very carefully to keep it intact. If it falls on the ground, it will be ruined. In the same way, the cyclic succession is there, and we're in the Madhvad Gaudiya, Madhvad Brahma Gaudiya, Vaishnava Sampradaya. There are only four Sampradayas, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, one from four Kumaras, one from Lord Brahma. Someone is claiming to be living to be a spiritual person, a sadhu, or whatever, he has to be in one of those sampradayas. One very prominent man, very rich man, in Vrindavan, he built a big temple there, but he's not in any sampradaya. So, you can't consider his teachings to be bona fide. But the other sampradayas, they may have very different, they may philosophy, their philosophy may vary in different ways. But the main thing is they all accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're coming in line from Madhvacharya and from Lord Chaitanya from Brahma. Brahma is the head of this sampradaya. So that's important that one has to be in sampradaya. So at the time of initiation, one has become linked up into the sampradaya. So that's very important that everyone take initiation, because Prabhupada says one's linked with Krishna begins at the time of initiation. 64 items.
That's the first one.
Yeah. And go, what?
Guru Padashraya.
Yeah. Guru Padashraya. So it's very important that one take initiation into this in Sampradaya. Otherwise, there's so many philosophies and so many other religions in the world, but they're not giving the science, true science of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, not possible any advancement. So Lord Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, incarnated himself as Sri Rama, accepting the sonhood of his pure devotee father, devotee Maharaj Dasala, kinghood of Yoja. Lord Rama descended the line of his plenary portions, and all of them appeared as his younger brother. A couple of years ago, in the parliament in India, they wanted to make a resolution that there was no such thing as Lord Rama Chandra. They wanted to say he was imaginary, but it didn't get approved. Right now, Lord Chaitanya appeared, many of his associates were devotees to Lord Rama. And Hanuman became Murari Gupta as Hanuman. Hanuman means the faithful servant of Lord Rama. In the month of Chaitra, on the ninth day of the growing moon, Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared, as usual, to establish the principle of religion, annihilate the disturbing elements. When he was just a young boy, he helped the great sage, Vishwamrita, by killing Shabhu and striking Arichi, the she-demon, who was disturbing the sages in their daily discharge of duties. So the sage Vishwamrita, he came to Maharaj Dasarath, asked for his son to go to help him to solve the problem of these disturbing elements. Even though the Brahmins are strong and powerful enough, they could do it themselves, because Brahmins are non-violent and peaceful, they require his help. So Lord Ramachandra, he went there to help the situation. Same thing happened with Lord Nityananda when he was 12 years old. When Sannyasi came there and asked his father if he could take Lord Nityananda with him and travel the holy places. So his father remembered this story of Maharaj Dasarath, so he couldn't refuse the man. But he was feeling immense separation, and the father of Lord Nityananda, he fasted after that for 3 months, but his body remained exactly the same. Lord Ramachandra is the ideal king for maintaining and protecting the highest culture of humanity, known as Brahma, Brahmanya and Dharma. Lord is specifically the protector of Kauras and the Brahmanas. Hence he enhanced the property, prosperity of the world. He rewarded the administrative demigods by effective weapons and conquered the demons through the agency of Vishwamrita. He was present in the bull sacrifice of King Janaka for the breaking of the invincible wall of Shiva. He married Sita Devi, daughter of Maharaj Ishtaku. The Maharaj says, Lord Ramachandra was the ideal king for maintaining Dharma. So, even when Lord Ramachandra was the king, someone didn't want to die, but didn't have to. It became Satyuga. So, king. He was such a wonderful king. Everybody loved him. He was dear to all the citizens. Even though he had to go to the forest, he was vanquished because his father had made a promise. So, keep his promise. Lord Ram had to go for 14 years. Ram, Sita, and Lakshman. 14 years they had to go to the forest. They were in the forest and so much hardship was there. But they, because the king were, here it says, the kings were, had to keep their word. They made a promise, they had to keep it. They couldn't break the promise. After his marriage, he accepted exile in the forest for 14 years by the order of his father, Maharaj Dasara. Throughout the administration of demigods, he killed 14,000 demons. By the intrigue of the demons, his wife, Sitadeva, was kidnapped by Ravana. He made friendship with Sugriva, who helped him, helped by the Lord to kill Bali, brother of Sugriva. Another story. Bali had absurd. Sugriva was the king of monkeys, but Bali was his brother, but Bali somehow upset the kingdom, was ruling. So Lord Ramachandra told Sugriva, go and fight with Bali, and I'll protect you. So Sugriva went to fight with Bali, but Sugriva was defeated. So he said to Lord Ramachandra, why did you allow him to defeat me? I thought you were going to protect me. He said, because both of you look the same. I couldn't distinguish who was who. So then he gave him a chatter, a yellow chatter. He said, now you go again, this chatter. And then, so I know who's who. And then Lord Ram killed Bali. By the help of Lord Ram, Sugriva became the king of Vanar, the race of the gorillas, Vanaras. The Lord built a floating bridge of stones on the Indian Ocean and reached Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana, but kidnapped Sita. Later on, Ravana was killed by him, and Ravana's brother, Vibhishana, was installed on the throne of Lanka. Vibhishana was one of the brothers of Ravana, a demon, but Lord Rama made him immortal by his blessings. An expiry of 14 years, after settling the affairs of Lanka, the Lord came back to his kingdom, Ayodhya, by flower plain. He instructed his brothers, Shatrughna, to attack Ravana Asura, who reigned at Mathura, and Dhima was killed. He formed 10 Ashwamedha Yagyas. Later on, he disappeared while taking a bath in the Sarayu River. The great Ramayana is the history of Lord Rama's activities in the world, and the third day of Ramayana was written by the poet Valmiki. So there's other commentaries on the Ramayana by unscrupulous people, but the main bona fide one is one given by Valmiki. So then Ram came back to his kingdom by flower airplane. He didn't have to make a reservation, and he didn't have to do an advance booking. He didn't have to wait at some airport to get on a plane, get on a plane made of steel and aluminum. And so, in past ages, people could fly on flower airplanes and go from one planet to another. And this is the Prabhupada put many things in his script word, and he originally brought down our Arvind Vrindavan. He translated and wrote his first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. He said he put everything in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why there's so much information in his script words. Prabhupada took it as his life mission to translate the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. But unfortunately, he only got the 10th canto, 13th chapter. But still, we can take advantage of Srimad Bhagavatam just by keeping Srimad Bhagavatam in someone's house, the same as having Lord Vishnu in his house. Says Shaitan Bhagavatam, we can worship the Bhagavatam because Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. There's two types of Krishna Katha, Krishna speaking, Krishna Katha, and book about Krishna. So Bhagavatam, Krishna's on every page, Krishna's on every page of the Bhagavatam, and we get, we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we feel enlivened by studying the Bhagavatam. We don't get bored, you can read the Bhagavatam over and over again, get new and new information. So we can stop there. Anybody have any questions, comments? Yes. Does not fall down in any circumstance, comes to Lord Brahman. Brahmabhuta Prashana Mana Sushina Kanchati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mahabhakti Mahabhakti Brahman. You have to come to this platform, Brahmabhuta platform. No more lamenting, no more angry. That's the beginning of spiritual life. So we're being influenced by the laws of nature, but we should just tolerate that and do our best. Try to come to the mode of pure goodness. So by chanting, everything's there in chanting. You chant purely, then everything will be revealed to you. Let's see. That's the main thing. We have to chant the holy name without offenses. And the most, even Maharaj Ambarish took shelter of lotus feet of Krishna. If you take shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, then Maya will not attack you. Maya, it's her business to keep everyone in the material world. The Christian consciousness means we're getting released from the grip of Maya, the modes of nature. Is that a good question?
I wanted to know when he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, before Srimad Bhagavatam or with Srimad Bhagavatam?
What?
After. Did Prabhupada wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita for birds before Srimad Bhagavatam or after?
No, at the same time.
Same time.
He wrote them both at the same time. And when he was in Los Angeles, he told me he ordered the 15 books, 1974 or 75. So I want you to print the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, 15 books in 2 months. He said it's impossible. At that time, we were producing one book a month or two books a month. He said it's impossible. Prabhupada said impossible. Order in the fool's dictionary. You do it anyhow. There's Prabhupada ordered them, they did it. 15 books in 2 months. The Prabhupada was writing both at the same time. I don't know what canon got up to at that time.